You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today and a great weekend, and I hope you get a chance to do all the things you must do, can do, should do, will do. That's right, can do and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But I know in good parts of this country, particularly in the north, in the northeast, it is very cold. It is frigidly cold. And so if you do have to do something, I'm quite sure you will either put it off, because if it don't necessarily have to be done, but if it does, you'll dress accordingly and get it done. I know, because I'm a firefighter. And yes, the fire department never closes. The hottest of days or the coldest of days, if an alarm goes off, we got to get out there. And we have to do whatever it is that we are called to do, whether it's an EMS or whether it's a fire. It can be a garbage cart on fire. We got to get out there in the cold and get a car fire, let alone a house fire where something could be, you know, serious. But we have to do it. The coldest of cold and the hottest of hot. Yep. So this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But of course, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Or you can use the shortcut. Go to your whatever it is you use as your, you know, online server, and put in Baba Oshi, BABAOSHI.net, BabaOshi.net. And once again, those programs will be right there for you that are dated and titled, and they're up to date. They're up to date thanks to my good brother and technician, Brother Kwaku. He's smiling nice, y'all. Yeah, it's my brother, man. Appreciate him. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. On Mondays, On Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And, of course, Brother Kamal, Dr. Kamal Kamban is also in Ghana. And they broadcast together. Black Therapy Central. From 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. Then on Tuesdays, from 8 p.m. to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. The Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, you know what time it is. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Fridays. Saturday at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council
And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Once again, brother, go to the website WeBuyBlack.com and give a donation. You know, as I stated earlier, it should have happened. It shouldn't take long at all for it to happen by pulling our resources together to have a supermarket. That's right. We don't have a damn supermarket here in the Atlanta area. Not even the metro area. Not even. Not even a service station with a convenience. We don't. Pathetic, I know. Yeah. Africa for the Africans with Brother Mamani Tahima. He is not going to be my guest today, unfortunately. Some other things have happened, but it will happen. He's handling his business. He just texted me. Not just, but earlier. He's handling his business. So right on, my brother. And believe me, brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go to the website. Everything you need to have a trip of a lifetime, not just to go to Africa, but to invest or to live, to repatriate. All of it is right there. The shots you need, the visas, whatever it is, it's all right there for you. The next trip upcoming is April 1st through April 11th to Senegal and Gambia. Then May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. And then November 17th through the 28th to Tanzania. All for $3,800. $400 down and pay on it as you can. And then there you go. You're off to Africa, off to the motherland. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. You can see the Tanzania tour from November of last year, the Ghana tour just from earlier this month, getting back January 5th. They're all right there on there, and previous ones as well. Brothers, Africa for the Africans.org. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Establish Schools in Africa. That's right. Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Its mission is Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And the Kashi Project that is ongoing right now in Ghana. The buildings are up. You can go to the videos and check for yourself. Please, brothers and sisters, go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. And if you feel in your heart to all the things that I present to you, it's for you to have an action, some type of action. If you forward information, that's even better. And hopefully the others will forward it as well. If you contribute, beautiful, whatever you can do. The LEDGE program, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Of course, they deal in the four areas of human existence, food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries and over 170 employees and over 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE Group, brothers and sisters. If you become a member, you can purchase land in Tanzania for just $250 an acre. Just $250, man. I tell you, the LEDGE Group. The Abibiatumi.com, Abibiatumi.com, brothers and sisters. Go to the website, make it a favorite. They have a lot of things that they offer that you don't need to go nowhere else because they provide an outstanding array of things that you can get involved in, particularly educationally, language classes, IFA, all kinds of good languages, IFA. Even the Medu Nature. They offer the Medu Nature. Yeah. A Khan language, yes. And of course, Swahili. I think that's a language that we really should learn. We need to learn a language so we can speak independently. Yeah. Abibiatumi. ABIBITUMI.com. Abibiatumi.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End and here in Atlanta. I live near the West End. I live on Cascade, and Cascade turns into, when you go east, turns into Abernathy. And, of course, that's where Wadada's is, on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And it's right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of Black Madonna. And the shrine is temporarily closed at this time. Communication came out that they're temporarily closed. But Wadada's is open. They have delicious smoothies and health drinks, pastries and bean pie. They have all kind of array of good stuff for you at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. On Saturday, tomorrow, and Sunday, they offer vegan food. You can purchase a vegan dish at Wadada's. Give them a call at 404-444-1635, 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. If you're in the area, go to the Greenbrier Mall and check Mama Nia out. She's right there on the main walkway of the Greenbrier Mall now. And larger store, more volume stuff, and beautiful books. She has fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff that she has for you. If you're looking for a book, if she does not have it, she'll get it for you. So give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, right off of I-20, east of Atlanta. My good brother Kazimde Ajamu not only has the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, but he also has a coffee bar located in the Black Dot. In fact, you know, give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He has T-shirts, books, the red, black, and green shoes. He has some products that are sold by the sun goddess Scent. So you have incense creams and stuff for your beard. And he has it there if you don't want to go to sun goddess Scent. Hey, whatever it takes, brothers and sisters, we do whatever it takes. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Also announcing Afroletics. It's a brother who has the Afrocentric sportswear with the African-centered names, the Dogon Seed, the Zulus, the Omex, the Moors, the Rebels, the Head Rouges, in this great sportswear, and Marcus Garvey, just great. And that's located in the new Black Wall Street Market, the new Black Wall Street Market in Stonecrest. That's still east. And that's east of where Brother Kazimde is, the Black Dot, right off of I-20. The new Black Wall Street Market. Check it out for yourself. I have another good friend in there who has a business for jewelry and artwork, just outstanding artwork. It's a great jeweler. He's been a jeweler to many of the people of prominence, so to speak. And that's Brother Sajifo. Saj. And another good friend of mine has a business in the new Black Wall Street Market, and that is Michael McGee Jr. He has a CBD business, CBD oil and so forth. So check them out at the new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people there. Last night they had their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's right, go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And from 9 to 10 will be the program, Us Lifting Us. The program is called Dare to Win. And you can call to listen or give questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia, at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give my good brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village. That brother has a whole bunch of stuff in his shop. He also has a restaurant in there. So everything, he has books, tapes, you name it, furniture, clothing. That's a one-stop natural shop as well. Yes, sir. All right. I'm going to squeeze this in before I go to Brother Baba Baruti. And as we know, we had Brother Jabril on this past Wednesday. And so we'll be announcing his Safai Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY.com. So pharmacy is spelled with pharmacy. So SMAIFARMACY.com. Yeah. Believe me, Brent, it's amazing what he can do and the things that he can do for your health, holistic health. Give the Brother Jabril a call or go to the website, www.SMAIFARMACY.com. Or you can email him, same thing, SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. Okay. And there's a call-in number right here. I'm going to give you that number as well. I'm trying to hook you up. Yeah, where's that number at? Well, give the brother a call at 404-838-1726. 404-838-1726. Brother Jabril. Baba Barudi and Mama Yabarudi of Ackerman Institute. I'm going to announce their workshops on the 5th next week. Announce those. But just want to announce Ackerman Institute for the outstanding work that they do at P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And please, brothers and sisters, you can make your check and money order out to Ackerman Institute. And once again, P.O. Box 10786, 30310, Atlanta, Georgia. Use PayPal or Cash App. Use Cash App, the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, then Barudi, BARUTI. And whatever amounts of donations that you can get would be greatly appreciated and is truly worthy because they are developing our warriors. They are developing young warriors, men and young men and women. Oh, man, almost forgot. Sun Goddess Sense, yeah. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located in 140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's right, Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop. Give our good sister, Shelly Amundset, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 434-7963. Sun God Essential, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work. They sent me an email of the work that they are doing in the island of Haiti, in the northeast portion of the island of Haiti, with these young, beautiful children. When you go on the website, you'll see the uniforms and you'll see the health care that is being provided. You'll see the sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship, because they sell out stuff that they grow and got chickens and all kind of good stuff. So Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I. .org, Sanjay-Haiti.org. Inye Sesim, the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. Oh, okay, where we at, Brother Oshi? Because I'm reading out of the two volumes. So I'm reading out of the old one here. So, and I'm reading yesterday, today, and tomorrow, as I customarily do on Fridays. And so then when Monday comes, I read Sunday and Monday. And you know, that's how it goes. That's the role. January 20th. It is quite easy to shout slogans, to sign manifestos, but it is quite a different matter to build, manage, command, spend days and nights seeking the solutions to problems. Patrice Lumumba, and as you know, this past Monday, the 17th, was the day that he was assassinated. We call it Lumumba Day, and we'll be celebrating that oncoming next year and years after. We want to highlight Patrice Lumumba, assassinated by the CIA, European countries, and of course, Belgium. If you are adverse to hard, thankless, selfless work, you are reading the wrong book. You see, what we have here are words whose only purpose is to work is the perk of nation building. If this could be done without an utterance, there would be none. As Patrice Lumumba, Incomparable Man, who was assassinated by unconscionable aliens and their emasculated, power-hungry pets for leading his viciously colonized people to the brink of independence, said, "It's one thing to shout, write, and protest, and quite another to gather the courage and make the time to do whatever is critically and actually necessary to enforce truth, justice, righteousness, and order. This is the challenge in this day of conversation, debate, and argumentation, where we have been convinced that being seen is far more important than being so-called involved in your work, that you don't have the time or inclination to look around and see who is in awe, whose words without action are taken as sufficient to change our reality into an African one. This is not the work of the weak, easily distracted, needy, selfish individuals. It's the work of the strong brothers and sisters to bring it into existence. Affirm, I am not averse to hard, often thankless, selfless work. Affirm, I am not adverse to hard, often thankless, selfless work. January 21st.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
January 21st. If a man sees a snake and a woman kills it, what matters is that the snake does not escape. Yoruba proverb. Among indefeatable underdogs on the constant verge of violation from enemies determined to remove them from existence, there can be no hesitation, no childish weakness, no escapism. Among those who can neither tolerate or change laziness of or treason because they know what ignorance and fear do to the will and stamina of potential warriors, and are well acquainted with the history of the divided loyalties inherent in delusional states of consciousness, diligence is built into an uncompromising, sane vision of Pan-Africanism. Among those who have been outnumbered and outgunned for so long that there is no question that their only choice have always been to stand together and remain indefeatable, enslaved individual truth is vital. Accountability is invaluable. Let me read this again. I like this. Together and remain indefeatable, enslaved individually. That's right. Standing together. Enslaved individually. That's right. Truth is vital. Accountability is invaluable. Respect, fundamental. Dedication, crucial. Loyalty, imperative. And righteousness, critical. Among those under a seemingly overwhelming assault who have come together as one to repel permanent enemies and collectively rebuild themselves into the image of their unqualified power, it should make no difference who kills the snake. I shake as we do this together. Men and women together. We in this fight together. Affirm, I care not who destroys evil as long as it is destroyed. Affirm, I care not who destroys evil as long as it is destroyed. Okay. I think I'm bouncing back and forth here between... January 22nd. The white man regards the universe as a gigantic machine hurtling through time and space to its final destination. Individuals in it are but tiny organisms with private lives that lead to private deaths. Personal power, success, and fame are the absolute measure of values, the things to live for. Anton Lambie. Africans have no fear of death, that is, has the ending as the end of things. We understand ourselves as spirit, and spirit is life and death. We understand it is a transition to the higher state of being. We revere aging, not only because of the wisdom that naturally accompanies it, but also because, like infants who have just left the spirit world, elders who are approaching it are closer to it, and thus becoming more psychologically integrated with it. So clarity is the basis of our thinking. Physical death does not end life. We move on to another realm, in another spiritual form, if you will, and return again through the act of procreation as human beings. Affirm, I am fully integrated in life cycle. Affirm, I am fully integrated in life cycle. Yeah. Oh, this is the one. I was going to read this one about the liberated territory grows out of my dome, which is our hair. You know, our hair is believed to have a spiritual antenna, and there is no reason to think that is to be false. Ours is the only terrestrial-bound hair defying gravity. Each winding strand of carbonated light, along with the rest of our physical presence, is resilient in its rising. Has won, they have effortlessly withstood Urugu's genocidal efforts to wreak everything African about us, is to wreck everything African about us. Although many of us are ungrateful to those who paved the Sankofian gauntlet to hair consciousness and adamantly remain detached from the revolutionary politics of re-Africanized hair, the natural twisting, turning growths have evolved with an awakening from which they benefit. That's right. Nothing we have metacidally adapted to distort our beautiful, bountiful kinks into fur and strings, into lesser forms more suitable to mind frozen in glacier cold fronts and fearful of sun rays, has altered our permanently demanded of our curls, our DNA. I ain't gonna read that. This is great. Because, you know, that's the important things about our hair, about us, about melanin, about being African. It's a blessing. I know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Today, on today's program, we're going to talk about Greeks, Greek fraternities. That's right. Black Greeks, really? Yeah. You know, many of our people who have gone on to college and we've joined fraternities, you know, and sororities, and many of these organizations have benefited the individuals who are initiates, who are sorors and frats. And some of the community has been benefited by the pulling of resources by various organizations. And of course, some of us know that some of these organizations have been co-opted so deeply, you know, that their main purpose is to keep us in line, keep us, you know, wishing and hoping and praying that we could be like, live, work, marry Caucasians. These are their organizations, these Greek organizations. And because we couldn't get into them, just like everything else, we create our own. Couldn't get into their churches, so, you know, Richard Allen, African Methodist Episcopal Church and other denominations, couldn't get into their Greek fraternities, you know. So started our own. Prince Hall, the Prince Hall Masons. And I say to some degree that, you know, that, excuse me, family, that some of these organizations individually, and one could argue collectively, have done good, you know, but honestly, I would say when you are named after people who have stolen from you and all of their traditions and their symbolism is actually ours, reverted and twisted, I would say no, it's very hard. You know, in fact, I'll never forget listening to Naeem Akbar many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, and talking about, instead of joining Greek organizations, call them African organizations. Instead of burning on the sign of the Omega or burning on the sign of a whatever, burn on the Ankh. Brand yourself with an Ankh. Brand yourself with a Tekken, not an obelisk. That's what the Greeks call it. Brand yourself. You know, I drove past a cemetery here in Atlanta. A lot of symbolism. Well, of course, it's an older cemetery. If you're in your city, in your area, and you have a larger cemetery that is, you know, old, turn of the last century, not this century, of course, turn of the last century, you're going to see a lot of pyramids and tekkens because of masonry, because of Freemasonry. You know, somebody who is of prominence, you know, there's a tekken there. And, of course, this country, and one of the main buildings in the D.C. area is, of course, the Washington Monument. And no building can be higher than the Washington Monument. No building can be higher than the Washington Monument, 555 feet. And, of course, it's hollowed out. It's not the tekkens that we built in Kemet of a large, you know, poured stone. Let's just keep it real. That's how they were made. They didn't, those things were perfect, so they didn't chisel that. They didn't, when these things were built, brothers and sisters, that's why, once again, go to check out the documentary, Great Pyramid K 2019 on YouTube. Go to YouTube, Great Pyramid K. I know it's 3.5 hours long. Be patient, brothers and sisters. Watch it at the times that you feel you can to ingest it. And I'm quite sure if you go through it once, you want to watch it again. And believe me, you should. You'll pick up more. I've watched it 3 times. I'm going to watch it more. Because it tells who did it, us. And it tells how we did it. No, we did not go down the Nile to a quarry and cut that stone and drag it and put it on a barge, and then sail it downriver, going from south to north downriver, and then drag it again, and then place it in place. No, we didn't. It was poured. It's another discussion. We talked about that last year. We'll talk about that again this year, because it's very important that, you know, we know how it was done and who did it. But we're talking today about the Black Greeks. Really? Yeah, the Black Greeks. And, you know, we have the Boule, and the Boule was the hierarchy of those in Black Greeks. And the main purpose for the Boule was to be gatekeepers, to make sure you keep these Negroes in check. The Europeans who are the higher up their stuff, they said, you keep these folks in check. This is what your job is. Omega Psi Phi, Delta Sigma Theta, Sigma Gamma Rho, you know. Yeah, that's right. Those are sororities, but they are also involved in keeping us in line, you know. Fraternities and sororities, these Greek organizations. Yeah. This comes from the Raising Awareness Group. It's an older article. But, of course, it's always very timely when you're passing out good information a few years ago. Shemhotep, I come in peace. Even Imhotep, I come in peace. Imhotep. I come in peace. Shemhotep means go in peace. Hotep means peace. There's been a particular subject that has always been on my mind. From time to time, it pops up in my mind and my head. And a few years ago, I was attending Asha Kwesi. Of course, Brother Oshawa Kwesi has taken many of our people, particularly to Kemet. Does an outstanding job. He was here a couple of years ago. I attended his presentation, Brother Oshawa Kwesi. Outstanding. I've seen him about 3 or 4 times, talking about ancient Kemet. And, I'm not sure if he was at that event back in 86 that I had mentioned the other day, because I was, when we did a presentation on Ma'at, because I had a sweatshirt, Ma'at, that was bought it from my good brother Ron Pounds, who's an ancestor, but who helped formulate the ASCAC chapter in Milwaukee, along with myself and many others. So being a member of ASCAC, and so ASCAC, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, and was still involved in ASCAC at the time, Malala Karinga, and many others were in, in fact, hundreds of us were in Kemet in 1986, really a pilgrimage, a home going, and we basically like reclaiming what is ours. When I went to Kemet, it was interesting because, we had a nice small group of us, and what was beautiful, and beautiful for us, is that there was a cloud over Europe. I don't know, and we were blessed, and so there was not a lot of tourism, so we were able to go, because many going into some of the temples and tombs and many of the attractions that people go to, there's sometimes long waits, and then it's hot sun, and so we were able to get in and out and see things at a leisurely pace and so forth. Took a balloon ride and over the Valley of the Kings and Queens, and even went to Queen Hatshepsut's temple and other things like that. I mean, just a good trip. Abu Simbel, in fact, I saw a trip they talk about going to Kemet that doesn't include Abu Simbel. It's like not to include Abu Simbel, which is the temple of Ramesses II and his queen, Nefertari. It's like going to Paris and not seeing the Eiffel Tower. It's just, that's how deep Abu Simbel is. But there's so many other things that you can see in Kemet. So it was just great. Okay, Oshawa Kwesi. And so he continues to do that and does it quite often. His trips, though, I just find them kind of pricey. I just mentioned Brother Bamani. He's gone to Kemet, but he doesn't usually take a tour to Kemet that often, but he's gone. And he's taken a tour many years ago. But, as you can see, Brother Bamani's fares are quite reasonable, very reasonable, But I would love to go to Kemet with Brother Oshawa Kwesi. He's just dynamic. He's really on. Okay. I was attending an Oshawa Kwesi event, sitting there. I seen an elder brother who was wearing an African medallion with Greek writing on it. This was totally appalling. Also quite commercial and sad, all in one thought. First, let's get into linguistics. Greek language begins, as far as a surviving text are concerned, with the Macedonian civilization, at least as early as the 13th century before Christian era. BCE, you can pronounce it before Common Era or before Christian Era. Same era, same thing. The earliest texts are written in a script called Linear B. After the collapse of the Macedonian civilization around 1200 BCE, writing disappeared from Greece. In the late 9th to early 8th century, before Christianity, has a script based on the Phoenician syllabus or syllabary, was introduced with unneeded consonant symbols being reused to represent the Greek vowels. The oldest surviving alphabet inscriptions are written using this new system and dated from the late 8th century BCE. And he gives a reference to Greek language as you can go to substantiate what he's saying. It further explains the script called Linear B is a syllable, not an alphabet. It is syllabary, not alphabetic. That is, each symbol represents a unique syllable, not an individual sound. Linear B is more than a syllabary thought. The script includes over 100 characters, and while most represent syllables, some are logograms or ideological grams representing entire words or concepts. So Linear B was a representation of syllables, not sounds. Let's cut to the chase. That was an educated way to explain that Linear B is nothing more than logos, like the Pepsi symbol, like the Jumpman symbol. You know the Jumpman symbol, Michael Jordan, whose legs spread, ball out, the Jumpman symbol, etc. The site already explains that it was not an alphabet. So an educated person can come to the conclusion that it was not an earlier form of Greek, because Greek is a language. Now then, we look into African culture. We can see the single earliest form of writing known to mankind is right there in the Nile Valley of Africa, misnamed hieroglyphics. That's Greek. But of course, it's the Medu Netcher. The writing in the language is known as the Medu Netcher. Medu meaning writings, Netcher meaning gods, the writing of the gods. In the paramount works of Tekai and Ifi Kilimanjaro in Yoruba African Times, Volume 1, we can find that African Kemet language started around 6,500 years BCE. That's 6,500 years. It states ancient African Kemet civilization was fundamentally African. The evidence of archaeological, iconography, demography, architecture, language, and culture are absolute origins in African roots. Absolutely. The origins are in African roots. It further states the origins of African Kemet ethnicity lay in the areas north of Nubia, the Sudan. The ancient African languages, according to recent studies, were populations whose lands between, 15,000 BCE and 1300 BCE. Once again, the reference to the Kilimanjaro, African Times, volume 26, and around 2016. Kemet system of writing, the earliest Medu Netcher, signs dating from around 3,900 BCE. In addition to their tools, their technology, and their constructions, they also fashioned from the start a systematic, organized system of thought, a moral consciousness, and ethic. We thus have a body of materials and information that our educational and research establishment must henceforth consult, read, interpret, and use as a historical basis and theoretical foundation of African philosophy, articulated millennia before the birth and flowering of ancient Greek philosophy. Furthermore, that Greek philosophy has its birth, drew nourishment and from so-called Oriental sources. More precisely, from Chaldea and Phoenician and Pharaonic Kemet. And this is Theophilo Obinga, African Philosophies, for 2004. And of course, Theophilo Obinga assisted Dr. Shikanta Jop. They were there at the symposium in 1974, arguing so persuasively, and they were the only Africans at that symposium because Kemet had been whitewashed, literally Caucasianized. And Dr. Thela Filio Bing, who was a linguistic, and Dr. Sheikh Hunter Jop, they just laid it out and laid it down. The smoking gun was Dr. Jop's development of the melanin dosage test. In fact, they denied them the access to the mummies for years. But of course, when they had access, clearly, those who had been mummified, particularly of note and nobility, had copious amounts of melanin. They were African. They were black. So what that tells us is that African language was being used when Europe was a vast Iceland. It also tells us that Greek language truly didn't start until around 336. So instead of 3,000 years, 336 years before the Christian era. 336 years before supposedly Jesus came on the scene. Also, another reason why biblical scholars suggest timelines doesn't start until around that time. You see, they have dominated. That's why the calendar, this is not the year 2022. This is year 6,252 by the Kemetic calendar. The Kemetic calendar was just as accurate then as it could be today. Also, another reason why biblical scholars suggest timelines doesn't start until around that time. Right. Let us do the math, so that we can be clear, concise, and precise. Kemet writing, 3,900 BCE. Greek language, 336 BCE. I know, that's 3,500 years before. The African civilization was highly intelligent before any European civilization for thousands of years. Thousands of years. One who has read the works of Professor George G.M. James, Stolen Legacy, his classic, which many believe that he was murdered because of what he had presented and what he had brought forth in exposing, because to the European, the Greeks were their foundation, and the Greeks did everything. Because why? The Greeks plagiarized. People think, Europeans particularly think of Kemet being, you know, because Greeks, Alexander the so-called great, they had the library in Alexandria where all the stuff was taken and then later destroyed by fire intentionally. But the African civilization was highly intelligent before any European civilization for thousands of years. One who has read the works of Professor George G.M. James' classic, Stolen Legacy, Professor James does a great job of showing the world how Greek philosophy was influenced by Kemet, land of the blacks, in Africa. Black Greeks were influenced by Masonic lodges, much like their Caucasian Greek organization counterparts. Two key factors probably influenced. I'm going to read this piece, and then I'm going to take a break, okay? And, of course, you can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Two key factors probably influenced the establishment of black Greeks. The first was a tradition of organizing for the good of the culture. Remember, it says race, but I don't use the word race. There's no such thing as race. There are cultures. There's only one race, the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. Their cultures has modeled by their parents' generation and those before them. Early 20th century American African college students were fully aware that Prince Hall and Richard Allen had responded to rejection by establishing their own. They responded to rejection by establishing their own parallel Masonic Lodge and African American Episcopal Church more than a century earlier. So we're going to take a break right now, dear brothers and sisters. When we come back from the break, we'll continue this conversation, and you can join it. Okay? You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Oh, alright. Everything's a
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Once again, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Donny Hathaway, The Ghetto. And, you know, when I hear Donny Hathaway and others who have gone through the mental challenges that they have and done what they've done, I feel so saddened by that because they're such great talent, you know. Yeah, it's deep. Yeah. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, here on African Perspectives. Oh, I was thinking of Phyllis Hyman. Thinking of Phyllis Hyman as well. Great talent. I'm going to play something, Phyllis Hyman. I don't think I had anything in my queue, but I'm going to come up with, because I love Phyllis Hyman. Beautiful sister. I met her at our festival when I was president of African World Festival. We had brought her to Milwaukee. Yeah. Beautiful sister. Time for an Awakening Media lineup on Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Kambon and Itaki Kambon. And Brother Dr. Kamal Kambon, Black Therapy Central at 8 p.m. Eastern. At 9 p.m., from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey on Monday. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, yes, right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. on Fridays. Saturdays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then Sunday at 7 p.m. once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Getting back to our conversation, reading a piece talking about the Black Greeks, really, the Greek letter organizations, you know, which of course is taken from the Europeans, the Caucasians. Among the many largely forgotten organizations, and a few of which are still active, are the Prince Hall Masons, the Grand United Order of Good Samaritans and the Daughters of Samaritans, and the Grand United Order of Odd Fellows, the organization with the highest level of mystique, secrecy, and elitism, is most likely Sigma Pi. Is likely Sigma Pi Alpha, also known as the Boule. And of course, they wrote about the Boule many times. I mentioned the Boule because that is the organization that make sure all the organizations under them are doing what they're supposed to be doing in any kind of way that they're supposed to be doing it by the dictates of this system. The Boule is the gatekeepers. The Boule is the organization that keeps all the other ones in line. Black Greeks initiations go through rituals. Most of the rituals seem to be very similar to the Masons, and some Black Greek rituals tend to be slightly different. Fraternities also use ways of communicating with each other through secret handshakes and code words. For example, some fraternities use a hand grip, much like the one you see that's pictured here, you know, in Greek masonry, called the grip. This means that recognition whereby we may know a brother in the darkness of midnight, just by the grip of the hand. It must be uniformed and simple, yet distinctive as possible. There should be no chances or no changes in the grip by individual chapters. The fraternity grip may be described as follows: an ordinary grasp of the hand, the right hand, in which all the fingers are included, with a forefinger pressing upon the wrist at the juncture of the hand and the wrist, two times. Uses of fraternity grips. The fraternity grips is used as a sign of recognition by members on meeting strange brothers, or by brothers of the same chapter on meeting after absence, or somebody who, because, you know, these are nationwide. So, you know, I'm meeting a brother from Philadelphia. We have the same grip. It is not to be used promiscuously at every meeting of the two brothers. If used on a brother in a gathering of any kind, the grip must be covered with the left hand of the one giving the grip. So they join hands together. So he covers it. So he covers the grip in itself. You know, have some people, you know, you meet somebody, and I've done that, you know. Grab two hands, and to me, well, I've done it with a show of meeting somebody with, you know, a great friend or somebody who I've met who's highly respected. You know, that's just me. In masonry, one can find several grips depending on your degree. For example, in the second degree of masonry, one will find that they use a past grip of a fellow craft, and this is done. This is in a book by Malcolm Duncan, Rituals, from 1866. If one wants to get a good understanding of masonry, one can read Duncan's Rituals, 1866, or Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike in 1871. Interrogation of recognition. Upon meeting a brother whose identity is in desire to establish, each newly obligated member shall have a number drawn by a lot and corresponding to the number of men initiated thus. If If four men are initiated, the number shall run from one to four, by which he shall be known in the fraternity. With it shall go to his college numerical, together with his chapter designation, and a pen. This is the sacred symbol of the only evidence worn by members to signify their fraternal affiliation. It shall be worn on the left breast, immediately over the heart, and displayed in such a manner as to herald to the world. See, I'm out there. Bam. I'm out there. Yeah. There's also sacred words which can be found in fraternities such as fraternity and friendship. So, as follows. Number one, F, friendship. Two, R, right. Three, A, aspirations. Four, T, truth. Five, E, endeavor. Six, R, respect. Seven, N, obligation. Eight, intelligence. Nine, T, thought. Ten, Y, youth. 11, F, fraternity. 12, R, restraint. 13, I, industry. 14, E, enthusiasm. 15, N, nerve. 16, D, duty. 17, S, scholarship. 18, H, help. 19, I, ingenuity. And 20, P, perseverance. Black Greeks also go through hazing, which has notoriously been known as bending over like a cheap prostitute, pulling down one's pants and getting severely beaten with a paddle. If that's not a slave mentality, I'm not sure how to describe it. Yet black fraternities and sororities, black Greek organizations, portray that they still practice this barbaric nature. This is reminiscent of the culture in which the Greeks had from the beginning of their civilization. Barbaric ways of homosexuality, thievery, malice, brutality, and once again, thievery. Because they were thieves, no doubt. Broken eardrums, internal bleeding, chest injuries, torn skin, broken jaws, fractured ankles, liver damage, abdominal injuries. These are among the types of physical damage that members of black Greeks have inflicted upon pledgees. Again, what type of brotherhood is this? Negroes have reduced themselves to be spat upon and kicked to feel like they are part of something, to wear Greek letters on a stupid sweater, bending over like little effeminate men willing to get broken in. They have a nerve to refer to this as a rites of passage. Well, ancient Greeks had a rites of passage also, where homosexual acts occurred between grown men and young boys. That's why we've mentioned many times before we should not use the word mentor, because in the Homer's Iliad, Odysseus, or Ulysses, who goes on his odyssey, leaves his son Telemachus in the care of Mentor. And Mentor sexually abuses his son, Mentor. We shouldn't use that word. We have an African word that we should use, and I've mentioned this many times before when I've heard somebody say it, and I try to respectfully say, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't use that word. We should use this word, which is jegna. The problem, I need to get the word of what the brother is called, the young person, the initiate is called. You know, I know the person who's giving the instruction, who is giving the stuff, is called the jegna. And of course, many of them is the plural word is jegnak. But I need to find that word. Beyoth, ask Baba Baruti, see if he knows. The most common form of same-sex relationship between males and Greeks was pedophilia, meaning boy love. It was a relationship between an older male and an adolescent youth. A boy was considered a boy until he was able to grow a full beard. In Athens, the older men were called Erestes. He was to educate, protect, love, and provide a role model for his Ermentus, whose reward for him lay in his beauty, youth, and promise. Yeah. The roots of Greek pedophilia lie in the tribal past of Greece, before the rise of the modern city-state as a unit of political organization. These tribal communities were organized according to age groups. When it came time for a boy to embrace the age group of the adult and to become a man, he would leave the tribe in the company of an older man for a period of time that constituted a rites of passage. This older man would educate the youth in the ways of Greek life and the responsibilities of adulthood. This rite, the rite of passage undergone by the Greek youth in the tribal prehistory of Greece evolved into a commonly known form of Greek pedophilia after the rise of the city-state, or opolis. Greek boys no longer left the confines of the community, but rather paired up with an older man within the confines of the city. These men, like their earlier counterparts, played an educational and instructive role in the lives of their young companions. Likewise, just as in earlier times, they shared a sexual relationship with these boys. Penetrative sex, however, was seen as demeaning for the passive partner and outside the socially accepted norm. In ancient Greek, sex was generally understood in terms of penetration, pleasure, and dominance rather than a matter of sexes of the participant. For this reason, pedophilia was not considered to be a homosexual act, given that the man would be taking on a dominant role and his disciple would be taking a passive one. When intercourse occurred between two people of the same gender, it still wasn't entirely regarded as homosexual union, given that one partner would have to take a passive role and would therefore no longer be considered a man in terms of sexual union. Stuff is even hard to read. An elaborate social code governed the mechanics of Greek pedophilia. It was the duty of the adult man to court the boy who struck his fancy, and it was viewed as socially appropriate for the younger man to withhold for a while before capitulating to his mentor's desires. This waiting period allowed the boy to ensure that his suitor was not merely interested in him for sexual purposes, but felt a genuine emotional affection for him and was interested in assuming the mentor role assigned to him in the pedophilic paradigm. And you can look it up at homosexuality in ancient Greece in Wikipedia. Notice where I underlined the word mentor. This word is used in the English lexicon very frequently, and our people are not aware of the origins of the word. We must replace it with words such as jegna or seba, which means teacher. Seba, S-E-B-A. Jegna is J-E-G-N-A. J-E-G-N-A, jegna. Even if one were to look at the website of Alpha Phi Alpha, one can see there's an option tab. There's an option tab that states to become a mentor. I'm not suggesting acts of pedophilia is going on, but most recently the language is there. And these are some of the activities that have happened. And I'm quite sure over these many years you've probably heard some or read some. Some have come to the fore of fraternity initiations, where there's drunkenness and physical abuse and all kinds of madness, sexuality. Seven Methodist college football players were arrested in 2002 on a hazing charges of restraining a freshman player and physically assaulting him. Players stripped Antonio Wilkerson down to his underwear, smacked him several times, and then sodomized him with a Sharpie pen, stick a Sharpie pen up his ass. In many cases, pledges either are put in physical harm or are put in extremely humiliating situations. In this case, a young lady had to choose between two. A female pledge reported that she was forced to choose between taking cocaine or using a dildo in front of her other pledgees. This was News One back in 2011. In March of 1997, in Indiana, jury found the National Organization of Omega Psi Phi, the fraternity's chapter at Indiana University, had several individuals who were members of the fraternity liable for $774,000 in damages from a February 1994 beating of a former Indiana University student, Kevin Nash, who was hospitalized for injuries he received while he was being pledged. Nash, who suffered from injuries to his kidneys, face, neck, chest, were allegedly paddled and hit with open fist and closed fist, according to Nash's attorney. They took him into a room, and five members of the fraternity attacked him. They punched and kicked him. I asked if he had ever got a chance or urge to swing back, and he said, "We can't. We can't swing back." He said he had been kicked in the head. This recollection comes from Felicia Taylor, a former girlfriend of Michael Davis, who died in February 1994 after being beaten to death while pledging Kappa Alpha Phi fraternity at Southwest Missouri State University. The day after his conversation, Davis collapsed after submitting to another beating at the hands of his fraternity brothers. Had they called an ambulance, he probably would have survived. Instead, they stopped to get something to eat at a Taco Bell directly across the street. Fratricide. Greek fraternities, Greek fraternities portray that they promote this positive attitude when in reality it is pathetic. Most American African people join fraternities because they think it'll give them some facade of social status. Hazing culture is much more compatible to gang culture, and yet you know what it is. Hazing is compatible, the same thing as gang culture, where initiates get, in fact, there's been some shootings, some things that supposedly people, I remember there was one thing they said initiates were supposed to be doing in gangs, is that, if I'm driving and I forget to turn my lights on, although a lot of cars, when you turn the car on, the lights automatically come on. But, that if your lights aren't on and I flick my lights like this, that's a sign. And they would come turn around and shoot you. It's crazy, I know. Well, hell, they shot people who, over a hat or having a hat turned this way or that way. Where initiates get jumped, beaten down by several people into gangs, or where females get raped by several to get into a gang. American African people join fraternities to do nothing more than to party and become drunkards and hypersexualized individuals. They've done that. I've been to some frat parties from back in the Bay. I went to the frat house when I was in Milwaukee this past summer. Some good brothers that I know. Branding is a process where symbols representing a fraternity is burned into the skin. In our captivity, one was branded in case they were caught while on the run escaping. Yet ignorant American African people are willingly letting themselves get branded with so-called Greek letter symbols. That's what I'm saying. If you want to brand on something, brand on a Tekken, brand on a pyramid, brand on the Ankh. If you want to brand on something African. What most people fail to realize is that a lot of Masonic rituals and secrets is based on ancient Kemetic African principles and philosophies, which have been plagiarized. I would love to show my readers some clips of a video of Brother Oshua Kwesi's documentary on African origins of Western Freemasonry. And of course, you can get that. Maybe you can even go on YouTube. But I do not have enough time to reach out and gain his permission. What I will do is suggest that everyone purchase the documentary by using the following link, which is kemetanu.com/DVDs. Oshua Kwesi does an excellent job in exposing the historical truth on where Masons get their rituals and symbol expressions. This has been trickled down into Black Greeks fraternities. Researching into all Black Greeks, I found one fraternity that uses a cane when doing their stepping. The fraternity is called Kappa Alpha Psi. On their website, the organization gives a history on the cane. It states, the use of the walking cane sticks me very, very well date back to the centuries BC, to the times when shepherds would tend to their flocks. This ties into the early roots of Christianity and leads to the candy canes of today being striped the way they are, three thin stripes and one big solid stripe, to remind us of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus. This shape was believed to be chosen because the cane, if pointed upward, symbolizes the letter J for Jesus. The history of the cane also ties in with African rites of passage and was a symbol of manhood that had to be carried by initiates wishing to become adult members of their respective tribes. Well, I mean, they have a history thing here. The Kappas, you know, their history, and they espouse that. But, of course, that's not really true, you know. And you see the brothers doing their thing. Now, let's analyze and put critical thought into that statement right before that I just read. They give the readers truth through to throw the readers off, then give them some more truth, then throw them off again. The cane does date back before the Common Era or before the Christian era. Then they try to tie it into the fictional character of the Messiah misnamed Jesus the Christ, Euripus. Euripus. They then tell the truth by telling readers that it is tied to African rites of passage. A statue of one of the most popular of the Kemetic pharaohs or kings is Tutankhamun, 1535 to 1225 BCE, pronounced Tutankhamun, Tutankhamun. Most Europeans just refer to him as King Tut. One can find Tutankhamun holding a crook and a flail, which was known as the Kepa and the, can't pronounce that word, were the proper names. The hook and the flail, and of course, the right hand is over the left. And you have the crook in the right hand and the flail in the left hand. The crook, like the shepherd's staff, symbolically means ruler. It is used by the head person. Also, symbolically means one with authority. Used for grains, one can get beaten with it as well. A flail is used for grain. You know, sometimes you use to swish flies away. Remember that? The flail, the hook and the flail. In the pseudo-Christian text, the false text, the Bible refers to Jesus being the good shepherd carrying the crook. The crook is depicted as a regular wooden brown colored crook or staff, the good shepherd. On Tutankhamun, the crook is depicted with stripes. Yeah, stripes, just a bit decorative. And of course, the flail. The Nile-Valley Kemetic deity known as Osir, or what the Greeks call Osiris, as Europeans misnamed him, is depicted as holding the crook and the flail. See that? That is Osir. The Greeks call him Osiris. This is why Jesus was associated as the Good Shepherd. These are concepts predating the plagiarized writings of any Bible. Also, if Jesus actually lived, in which he did not, these would be the concepts way before the time he had lived or had a chance to travel to Kemet. Now let's revisit what was said upon the Kappa Alpha Psi on their website about the history of the cane. They mentioned that the cane had stripes. They also stated that the cane dates back centuries. They also admit that it ties to African ritual or African rites of passage. So I raised the question, what African civilization was known for the usage of kekas, the crooks? Nile Valley Africans, that's who. Not only did the pharaoh or the king, such as Tutankhamun, carry one, but the deity named Osir is depicted as carrying one, which meant that it was a major status representation in Nile Valley culture. Masonry has influenced Greek fraternities, but one will eventually learn that Masonry is based on Nile Valley culture as well, practices and spiritual rituals. Masonry is also diluted with Christianity and Islamic influences, which is why a lot of them walk around with half-truths. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, I think I have done a good job trying to explain what Greek culture is built upon. Savagery, homosexuality, pedophilia, brutality. It has always been their culture and a way of life. Silly American Africans and Africans are joining these organizations blind to the fact of this history. This is why they blindfold your ignorant ones. Replicating Masonic rituals, which were themselves inspired by African rituals, culture, and practices and philosophies, joining these institutions to be beaten and spat upon as if your ancestors did not already suffer enough. So Greek fraternities, Black fraternities, voluntarily disrespect the ancestors by submitting to this lower behavior, becoming drunkards and etc. Why learn Greek writing when Africans have the oldest writing and language known to a man, the Medu Nature? Why not join African shrines or use African practices based on the cardinal principles of Ma'at instead of the Greek fraternity principles, which are very similar to the 13 cardinal principles of Ma'at anyway? If we're to reclaim our righteous heritage, then we must give them back their culture, their language, their practices, and also not join their organizations. Until next time, there are many thoughts, and I hope you enjoyed reading this. I sure did. Hope you enjoyed listening to you. Shem Hotep. Go in peace. Asante Sana, thank you. And here, because he has a book source here, Stolen Legacy, George Jim James, African Volume 1, Brother Kilimanjaro, African Philosophy, Thelophilio, Being a Black Greeks and Underground Pledging, Kevin Michael Foster, Fratricide, Paul Ruffins, College Hazing Rituals, Newsweek.com, News1.com, American African Fraternities and Sororities, University Press of Kentucky, African Origins of Western Freemasonry, Oshawa Kwesi, his documentary, Duncan's Rituals, Malcolm C. Duncan, Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike, Wikipedia, you can deal with that, Kappa Alpha Psi, the history of the cane, Greek languages, symposiums, you know, all of it right there, brothers and sisters. It's all right there. So I'm not making stuff up, and you know that. But just trying to, once again, educate ourselves and put something on our mind. We got some time left. If you want to join conversation, please give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let me make this announcement because I didn't do it earlier. Tomorrow, Saturday, on Blog Talk Radio, African American Empowerment Saturday, Brother Marvin, and that's on Blog Talk Radio. African American Power, recapturing the African mind with Dr. Bruce Bridges. Recapturing the African mind. That's at 2 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, brothers and sisters. 2 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. The number to call is 845-277-9250. That's 845-277-9250. On Blog Talk Radio, African American Empowerment Saturday, recapturing the African mind. It is the mind. It is about the mind. And believe me, we are at war for the minds of our people. And that's why I do this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I talk about independence. I talk about self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That's what I talk about on this program. Sovereignty for African people. The motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's the bottom line. There, brothers and sisters, there is no other way. That is the bottom line. That is the end game. There is no other way. I know we want Caucasians to accept us as a people. Some of us, because we, if you're in this society, you're trained to think individually. So, you know, I want Caucasians to accept me. I don't give a damn about you. You know, I want Caucasians to accept me, you know. We have a caller, 404-44, good afternoon.
Oh, yeah, Baba. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Go ahead, my sister. How you doing, Queen? Queen Lumumba. How are
yes,
you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm good. Thank you so much. I'm good. I'm sorry. Your time of day seems to be my time of day, too. So
it's okay.
Here I am. So
yeah, it's okay,
you carry on.
Yeah. That's okay.
And if I need to chime in, I will.
All right, dear.
But
thank you so much.
Hey, family.
All
love
right.
You all. Stay strong.
Right on, Queen Lumumba. Sister's always doing great work in our community. We really appreciate her, and all the brothers and sisters that sometimes without, getting thanked or getting praise or anything, because they don't do it for that. They do it because they know it must get done. Because they ask the question, who's going to do it? Well, shit, I'm going to do it. Because I'm not going to rely and just sit back and hopefully that somebody's going to do it. And if I'm not doing it the way it should be done and you know how to do it the way it should be done, come on, let's work together. Let's get it done. The bottom line is, whoever, just like the Inye Sesim I read, it doesn't matter who kills the damn snake. If it's the woman or the man or the child, whoever, it doesn't matter as long as the damn snake is killed. As long as we can continue to march forward as a people, it doesn't matter. And believe me, brothers and sisters, we have a long, tough-ass march. Long one. And it's not going to be easy. Good afternoon, New York, Westchester. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm just listening to the program, but I just got one question. I think it was yesterday, Brother Oshie had someone on there with a pharmacy.
Yes.
Or
yes. Yes. Yes, we do.
What was the website? Again, because I didn't get the website correct.
Oh, good. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. The website is S as in Sam, M as in Mary,
uh-huh.
A as in
yep.
Apple, I as in Inez, F as in farm, A as in Apple,
yeah.
A has in Apple, R has in Ronald, M has in Mary, A has in Apple, C has in Charlie, Y has in you. Y. So that's okay. Semifarm.com. S I'm going to repeat it so it makes sure you have it. SMAIFARMACY.com.
So, SAI.
No, SMAI. SM.
SMAI.
Yes. And then FARMACY. FARMACY. And that's also I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was F, right?
Yes. F as in Frank. Okay. Yep.
I'm sorry. You know what? I was in my car. I want to write it down. So
okay, sure.
S-A-S-A-M?
No.
S-M-A. S-M-A.
I.
I.
F.
A-R-M-C-Y.
Right. So I'll repeat it so you make sure we have it.
Okay.
Okay, I'll repeat it. Here we go. SMAIFARMACY.com.
MACY.com. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah, because see the word pharmacy, his word of pharmacy is like pharmacy.
Yeah.
And it's also, you can use it for the email address. That word at Gmail. That word at Gmail.
Okay.
Here's also a number, 731.
6229.
There it is.
Perfect.
All right, dear brother.
Thank you. I really appreciate the show.
Continue to listen. I appreciate it. Always. I try to throw some stuff out there, brother. I really do. Thanks for calling, man.
Thank you so much. Much love, bro.
Peace. 646-646, good afternoon.
Odios, what's happening, brother?
Hey, Jay, how are you doing, dear brother? How are you going, man?
I'm all right, man. I see you talking about the finest Negroes peen we have ever produced on the planet.
I know, man. It's pathetic. Some good brothers, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm quite sure you do, too. We've met some good brothers, but I'm thinking the overall process of it, of fraternities and sororities that produce Negroes. The overall process was not to produce Africans, it was to produce Negroes. And there's some good that are strong, but I mean, the bottom line is many people join the organization for partying and this and that, or thinking they'll get ahead in their careers.
Listen, let's be clear of this. And this is one of our biggest problems as a people. You don't rep no other culture before your own.
I say.
Whenever you rep someone else's culture before your own and make that more of a priority than your own culture, you out your effing mind.
Yeah.
And that's why, how you gonna uplift a freak Greek over an African?
Well, that's because we've been trained. You know, we've been trained to hate ourselves and to hate what is African and to gravitate. I remember a conversation I had. This brother became conscious later on, but I remember a conversation I had with him, 70s at least. And he was talking about, I guess he had learned some things about Greece and how great Greece was and Greece philosophy and, you know, and all this Pythagorean theory, all this kind of and so he was hailing this. And I was like, I said, no, man, they got it from us. Because I was just reading at the time. You know, I was gaining consciousness at that time. I mean, I went to a program, never forget it, man. That's what raised my consciousness. A sister, and she's an ancestor now, you know. And that program she had, man, I learned the Black National Anthem. None of these things I had learned in school. I was already in high school at the time. This is the 60s, you know, and in that program. And so when that brother was talking about that, in the 70s. I said, no, they did not. That's our stuff. They took it from us. They're liars, you know. But he was adamant about how great the Creeks were. But, of course, you've been trained to feel how great the Creeks were. I was on a panel discussion with a UWM, University of Milwaukee professor, talking about the Greeks, and I slammed his ass. I slammed him.
Well, you were supposed to slam him.
Yeah.
You know, see, my whole thing with them clowns, because that's all I refer to them as clowns, you're supposed to be the so-called elite. You're supposed to be the smartest of the smartest. And what do y'all Negroes produce? Y'all can't even come together to build industry for black people, your own selves.
Yeah.
You can't even get six brothers in the same fraternity to come together to build anything. You got every skilled trade that there is under your belt, and you can't collectively do a damn thing. So in all honesty, you ain't of no effing value.
Yeah.
If the truth be told. Because if you want to be honest, if you're supposed to be, as they call themselves, the divine nine and all of this, then you're supposed to be setting forward and putting an example for your people instead of doing what? Caving out your existence off the backs of the white man. If the white man told your black ass, I'm not going to do nothing else for you, I'm taking your jobs from you, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you no longer exist in our world, what would your black ass do? Could you come together collectively as the people and build industry to compete against this cracker?
No.
Oh,
mm-mm,
yes,
no.
You could if you had the right mindset.
Right, if you had the right mindset.
You have all of the skill.
Right.
But you don't have that mindset.
No, because you're trained not to have it. You know, the only thing I can remember them cats doing was coming together and building, definitely doing that, but to erect a memorial for Dr. King. That memorial that you see in D.C. was done by, well.
The Negroes are worthless, B. That's all I'm saying, and I ain't going to sugarcoat it. Them Negroes are worthless. Anytime a cat start talking me about sorority and fraternities, I tell them, look, man, I'm not interested in that. If they go further, then they get beat up. Then they get beat up on. I ain't never been appealing towards it, and I wouldn't give a dime towards it. No way, shape, or form. Them Negroes, to me, they disgust me.
Well, you know, I was offered a couple of times.
I laugh all the time when I'm watching Roly-Poly Martin's show, and he talking nonsense fraternities against fraternities. Mm-hmm. And what's even so crazier to prove the point, how much do his sorority,
his fraternity,
and sisters
his fraternity
donate to him?
Yeah.
If you doing what he doing, and you are AKA or whatever the hell you are, as a member of that organization, you supposed to donate no less than $5 to that Negro, just based on the association that he's your so-called brother.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how many of them give to that Negro. And every time you turn around, he repping some nonsense about two things, the Democratic Party and the AKA.
Yeah. AKA is a fraternity, but I think Omega Psi Phi. I'm not sure what fraternity he's in.
Whatever the hell it is.
But the bottom line is that the Sigma Phi,
BFA,
you know, the Sigma Phi Phi, which is the Boulé.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is the Boulé. It's the Boulé.
A bunch of worthless Negroes.
Yeah. It's the Boulé that is still in exist, that has the gatekeepers are the ones that helped destroy Marcus Garvey and helped destroy a lot of Pan-African organizations. The Boulé, you know, it's these Negroes that they have produced that they go out and do the bidding for the Caucasian, kiss their ass and keep the other fraternities in line, you know.
White man, let me tell you something, though, and I'm sorry to say it, but I must say it. The white man got Negroes on remote control.
Yeah, well.
That plain and simple.
Yeah.
Negroes are on remote control. The white man, when the white man changed the channel and clicked the button, the Negro changed the channel and clicked the button. Whatever the white man tell the Negro to do, the Negro do it. Let's cut the BS. Negroes ain't in no position to do an effing thing in this country if the white man want to shut it down. Because you ain't place yourself in the position to do anything. Here it is, they done now almost decimated your ability to vote and what you talking about doing.
But see, that's the
working
But Jay, you know, I've often felt that was most ridiculous, you know, that we have to continue to fight for voting in this damn country for decades, damn near hundreds of years from the time that the 15th Amendment came in, you know, and up to this time. You know, I don't know if you ever heard me. I mentioned the fact that I was in Selma back in 2015 for the anniversary of that beatdown that John Lewis took, you know, going down that hill, you know, and I was down that hill where the marker is, where he got that beatdown, and coming down the hill was Rance Priebus. Rance Priebus was the Republican chair of Wisconsin. And I was on a program with him on American African radio station in Milwaukee. I would sit in on that sometimes and even host it periodically, you know. And I was on a program with him, so I know he don't remember me, but I remember him very well. So I see him coming down the hill, and he has three young people with him, a sister, a brother, and a Caucasian, you know. And I said his name, and he was like, oh, you know, shocked, you know. Rance Priebus, because he was about to be Trump's it'll come to me, whatever. I need to take some ginkgo, brother, so I can remember all this bullshit. but anyway, I said to him, this is very disingenuous of you to even be here, knowing what your party has done dealing with voting rights and voter suppression. And that was in 2015. And you can see since the election what the Republican Party has done. And I looked dead in the eye of that brother and his sister, and the sister kept her head down, you know, because this cat is a damn snake, you know.
He was chief of staff.
That's what he was, chief of staff. But anyway,
listen to this. Now think about the white man and how the white man operated, right? Now just think about this. He gave you 60 rights. He gave you voting rights 50-some years ago. But within giving you the voter rights, he made it where he had to recertify every so couple of years, right?
Yeah, isn't it crazy? It's crazy, man.
And now think about it. If he really wanted to give you your voter rights, he would have did it one time and let it be.
Right. Or Jay, he could be
You gotta let me finish this. When he got to the point to where as he saw that his population was diminishing and that there was gonna be an overabundance of minorities that would then place them in the position of the white people becoming the minority.
Right.
He had things already set into place so that he could do what he's doing today.
Right.
That's what you call strategic planning.
Right.
That's what the white man do. That's what the Negro never understands, because he's always satisfied when the white man give him something, and he never thinks that there's stipulations involved in what the white man gives him, so we don't think further ahead. Negroes never really thought about this would happen at this day, because they never put the necessary pressure on 20-some years ago.
Right.
And then when they destroyed the bill to the Supreme Court, they never did the necessary things to put the pressure on it to make it do what it do. But they want to be happy that they gave this cracker Ostack and Warnock, thinking about they had a majority, but in the process, they were in the minority because the other two crackers, Manchin and
right.
girl.
And Sinema.
See, this is what white people strategically do to us all the time. Because, I'm sorry to say it, our leadership is not forward-thinking.
Yeah. Well,
if you're
know,
forward-thinking, you'd never be in this position because you're analyzing everything in play.
Yeah.
Because if they tell you, well, we got to renew this in 25 years, come on, man.
That's crazy. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, and you made a good point, Jay. And my point is what Malcolm said. Malcolm said, if it don't take anything to get your rights, shouldn't take anything to get mine. If it don't take anything for you to vote, it shouldn't take anything to get my it shouldn't take anything for me to vote. But because of how you are and how you operate, and just like you said, they realized that they were becoming a numerical. There have always been a numerical minority in the world, and that's why they have to dominate and control the world because of that fact, and they're becoming a numerical minority in this country. In this country, in fact, they say by the year
they're going to have power forever.
Right.
The white man ain't never going to be in the position to where as he don't have power and governance over the Negro. He ain't never going to be in the position where we as a people are going to ever, ever stop him from doing what he has to do. And I mean, he shows it to you. So now it is, some Negro going to tell me, well, we just got to work harder and register more and go out there. You out of your effing mind if you think I'll ever stand in a line for 7 hours to vote for a Joe Biden or this piece of trash, Kamala Harris. I mean, I get such a kick out of when I hear Negroes talk about she's going to replace Biden and become the nominee and win it in 2020. I said, you got to be the biggest goddamn fool in the world. She was the first one, if I'm not mistaken, to tap out. She only got 3% of the vote. So now you tell me, when here it is, his numbers are dwindling, her numbers are dwindling, now black people are going to vote for her or some white person go vote for her. Do you think they allow not even a authentic, original, enslaved black woman to run this country over a homosexual monkey man, twisted sister, or a white man? Get out of here.
No.
You know, Negroes are just stupid to me at times. They don't understand. They ain't never going to put a black person in that position to do what to do in this country. And by letting it happen the first time, you see what they done did since that. They done set it up to whereas Democrats in the next year are not going to have no power in this country no more.
Well, the way the Democrats are behaving, they deserve that. I mean, my contention is you see what the Republicans are doing. They can't win a popular vote. That's why they do this.
Nope.
They can't win because the generation, what is this new generation? Generation Z? Is that what they're called? I know the millennials. But the new
Generation Z.
They are coming in and they're not buying the Republican line. They're not buying it. And so the Republicans are going to have a very tough time in elections. Now, they can get some elections on local levels and so forth with that hardcore racist right-wing shit, but not in a general. Not in a general. So listen, Jay, you know my time
is up, man. The thing is, but Oshi, the thing is what people don't get is they set it up to, even if they lose, to still retain power because of the way they gerrymander the state.
Right.
The way that
right.
they get control of certain key elements, so it don't make a
right.
difference. That's why this midterm election and the next election is going to be amazing. Now, the final thing is this. The thing that gets me is, and this is really, really serious, and it just goes to show you what type of country is, why the F haven't they crushed Trump?
Yeah.
Do you know the type of problems that he's done caused in this country.
For real. And he's still doing what he's doing.
Why haven't they crushed him?
You know, and he's still doing what he's doing. It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Why have
he is
they
openly.
Not, why have they not crushed him? And you know what the funny thing is? If anybody else had the allegations and the things that he's done as far as fraud.
Yeah.
They the ice
oh,
their
yeah.
ass
you,
by
no,
now.
No doubt.
But him.
Yeah, no doubt.
They must
well, listen,
be trying
Jay,
to dot every I and
cross
every
T before they do something.
To make him yeah. not be able to escape this.
Yeah.
That's the only excuse. That
right.
I
well, that's
use.
What they're saying. They're trying to make sure they have all their ducks in a row when they do go
they
after
better.
Him to make sure it's ironclad. Listen, Jay, got to run. Respect for you, my brother.
Oh,
have a
yeah,
great
brother.
Weekend. Okay?
You too.
All right. Peace, my brother. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a great weekend. Hope to see you back here on Monday. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destinies. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.